Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Day two of American Exceptionalism in Akkas and Islamabad throughout Afghanistan. Just extraordinary events. We'll be discussing things with Tom Tancredo, but this is the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, truth straight up, and we can use some of that.
That's right. Brought to you by AmericanCitizenPress.com. That's where Tom's column has appeared. A great column, great website to check out for conservative voices. You know, I'm not even going to say conservative voices. I'm going to say for sane voices anymore. It's like, because if you're not reading it, then you're buying into some of the insanity coming out of Washington, D.C. And also Dr. Julie McCallum with Denver Cenogenics. Great doctor. Our family doctor. We turn to her for everything. And we have former Congressman Tom Tancredo with us on line two. Hey, Tom, I wanted to talk to you about your column. And first off, thank you once again for your time. You keep writing these great columns. This, I think, is your best one yet.
Good. Well, I'm glad. I always get concerned because I remember when I did the very first one, they called me and said, oh, gosh, this is great. Oh, my goodness. The response has been wonderful. And I always think, they keep thinking it's going to get better, but I'm not that good.
Right, it's stinking on every so often. Well, hey, before we get into your column, I wanted to ask you about this. So Joe Biden apparently just held, we did not see it, we were getting ready for the show, but held a news conference where, according to Julie Kelly, he went after Republican governors, he scolded unvaccinated Americans, threatened to use the federal government to go after GOP leaders, mumbled something about a vaccination booster shot, and then wandered off. Didn't take a single question, didn't say a single thing about Afghanistan or what's going on there.
I think his new thing is moveon.com. That stupid Afghanistan stuff. Let's just move
hashtag
on.
Hashtag move on. Move on. Nothing to see here.
Let's talk about Christians.
I mean, what do you make of that? Just that in and of itself. And is there, I guess my bigger question there is, I kind of wonder if there's something truly wrong with Joe Biden. Besides all the other things, I guess even cognitively.
I think there is, and I think it's evident to almost anyone. The only argument I guess you would have is the degree to which he is impaired. But right. I don't think anyone can possibly say there's nothing wrong with him. Yes, there is. There is something wrong with him. I feel sorry for him as a result of that. I do. But I also recognize that feeling sorry is going to help the country when it comes to having a leadership that is disabled, essentially. And that's what it is. We are witnessing it. He is incompetent, whether it is a combination of his own inability that's always been there. He's always been sort of incompetent, let's say. He's not the smartest, guy on in the Congress, and that's saying something. I mean, but he is also, I certainly think, affected by a malady of some sort, and at what point it is, I don't know. But it's scary because what is happening, apparently, is that somebody else or some group of people are actually running the country. Well, who are they? What are their responsibilities?
It's a bunch of toddlers. It's a bunch of toddlers. The Taliban
has taken over the White House and issuing orders there. Let me ask you one question. What happened to the Taliban? I mean, they used to be a true 10th century medieval sect that was happy to just flail, kill, torture, rape the way through Afghanistan. And now they've turned to this henpecked group. Wow. The people are from the UN ambassador to the State Department telling them that they have put out a strongly worded press release telling them to let all the Americans into
the airport.
The airport.
And strongly worded, Tom. Strongly worded.
Very strongly worded press release.
Oh.
And the Taliban just doesn't go, oh, shut up. You know, the heck with this facade. Burn somebody.
Right. Well, did you happen to see, I posted it, somebody had sent it to me, it was a clip from CNN, the reporter there in Kabul, I think it was, anyway, she with a burqa and all, she's saying, they're all yelling, death to America, but they seem to be quite peaceful.
Friendly.
We played that on our show, and then right after that, they tried to pistol whip her producer too. So there you go. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, I will say Clarissa Ward. We're talking about CNN. She's been doing a good job today, and we'll get to that a little bit in the show. But I wanted to talk about your column because I think you hit some really key points. And okay, so Afghanistan has fallen. Is the United States going to be next? And you mentioned, you know, when you look at, okay, what are our options? And we'll get into just even trying to get the hostages, which was really what they are right now, thousands of them there. But if you're the United States, what do you do when you're up against something like this? And talk a little bit about the column and some of the things and the trouble you got into when you made a suggestion years ago.
Well, first, we have to get some sort of understanding, a common understanding about who the Taliban, and in fact, not just the Taliban, but who are these people that we refer to often as Islamic extremists. That covers a lot of ground, a lot of groups, and it's kind of confusing for people in the West. You know, is it the Taliban? Is it Al-Qaeda? Is it ISIS? All these names that kind of, you know, roll off the tongue, but when you're talking about Islamic terrorism. But what you have to agree to is that we are fighting something that these aren't just simply separate little groups and tribes that are having at each other. This is a movement that is based in religion. And certainly there are people who call themselves Muslims who would not buy into all of the Islamic terrorist activity. But nonetheless, that's what you have to realize, that there are millions, essentially millions of people out there who are, as I pointed out, you remember in the movie The Terminator, when the guy was telling, was trying to explain who these people are, who were the Terminators, who were they? And he kept saying, don't you understand? They won't quit. They will keep coming. They will not stop at anything until they kill you. And that is exactly what I believe we're talking about with radical Islam throughout the world.
Taliban? I mean, you know, they're not coming for you. They're going to respect women's rights, humanitarian rights. Right. They're going to allow surgical reassignment of sexes.
No.
Yes, sure.
Maybe we'll let them start voting in Republican primaries. Who knows?
That'd be a good idea.
That's a good idea. Well, what I mean, you know, and you got into so much trouble for when somebody said, "What do you do if they attack the United States?"
Yeah, that's it. I mean, if indeed. I mean, remember, even before that, I got into a lot of trouble with a guy by the name of Karl Rove because I gave a statement to the Washington Times, and I said it was a editorial board meeting, and I said, you know, if we don't do any more to secure our borders than we've done up to that present time, and that was only like a year after 9/11, I said, and if we have another event like 9/11 and it's perpetrated again by people who are in the country illegally, then the blood of the people killed in this country would be on the hands, on the head of President Bush and of the Congress that has done nothing to make it more secure. Well, of course, then as I'm pulling out of my driveway at Alexandria the next morning, I open my phone and it's call, a call's coming in and it says, White House. Jesus, I never had such a thing. You know, I mean, that's really, the White House is calling me. My goodness. And then answers it and it says, hold for Karl Rove. That's when I knew it was not going to be a good day. And so, you know, he said, said a lot of things, including at the end of our conversation, he called me a traitor to the party, a traitor, blah, 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 screaming at me because of what he had read in the paper. And he told me, never duck in the doorstep of the White House again.
You know,
Right. Well, you know, and so that was the beginning of it. Then of course, later on, because several years later, I was running for president, the Republican nomination. I got this question about what I would do if an Islamist set off a nuclear device in the United States. And I said, hey, there's nothing. After there's nothing. You clean up the dead. You quarantine the area for however many hundreds or thousands of years, whatever it takes to, you know, to get it clean. You because there are no good answers after. I mean, who do you attack? Who do you arrest? Do you send out the FBI and to find out who did this and arrest them? I mean, there are no good answers after. So you have to think about what you can do to stop them. And that's what led to a series of questions that kept going. And he said, well, what would you do? I said, you have to know where they're coming from. You know, I have to know what motivates them. Once you figure that out, you can develop a strategy to stop them. They're motivated by religion. You have to go at it from the standpoint of what you could do then on that basis. And that was to he said, and what do you do? And I said, well, you take out there, you tell them, if this bomb goes off in the United States, we will take out all your holy sites. And he said, do you mean Mecca? And I said, yes, and Medina. I said, and Medina, too. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, God. Well, of course, all hell broke loose.
Yes,
I mean, really, it was just unbelievable. And I've been saying ever since, well, okay, everybody seems to disagree with that strategy. Tell me what yours is. You know,
right.
I'm really interested to know what you are doing to stop it.
Well, this
and one
is
of the
Biden,
things, of course.
As I said, the Biden policy right now seems to be to trust the Taliban. That's our policy.
Oh, so. Absolutely. Well, not just the Taliban.
Tom, I can tell you what the answer to that is. I can tell you what answer to that is.
Okay.
Now, with the knowledge of all our years and dealing with Islamic terrorism and many other ones. In lieu of the somewhat draconian response that you have, you should have said, we're putting together a very strongly worded press release condemning the death of millions of people. That's right. That's the answer.
And on top of it, you could actually probably form some sort of working group. Right?
I love what Kermit has said about what are the great challenges to Afghanistan. He said, well, it's communism, it's terrorism, and it's NGOism.
You were right.
Well,
and what you said rings true today, because again, you'd think after all this time, somebody in Washington, D.C. would have figured out we need to understand our enemy. So what do? We leave, clearly not understanding or at least ignoring the fact of what would happen and that it happened. They're like, oh my gosh, we didn't know it was going to happen so fast. And now essentially they've got literally thousands of Americans and American allies. This is what the State Department today told them. First, they said, quick, come to the airport. Then they're like, oh, no, don't come to the airport, shelter at home and wait till we tell you what to do. Then they said, okay, this is the latest today. They're saying, come to the airport, although we cannot guarantee your safety, and it's going to be on a first-come, first-served basis.
A little more Darwinian than before.
Yes.
It's survival of the fittest. Can you get to the airport? Can you get through those Taliban
and
people?
And the State Department acknowledges that the Taliban is harassing them. That CNN reporter, after her producer got pistol-whipped, and you know she was told to step to the side.
And some of the Taliban fighters have indicated that they should be charged with harassment because they said some words that the women objected to by the NGO. I mean, they're really pulling out the stunts.
Well, but if you I mean, how, you what, guys, here's what, I mean, what do you make of it all?
The point that I tried to make in this article was that, yes, there's going to be a horrendous amount of human tragedy in this land that is actually based on that concept, and it will be horrible, and there will be, and we will look at it and think, oh my God, how can this be, you know, these barbarians, and I understand that, and I don't mean to discount the horror that is engulfing Afghanistan, but my point was, when you have a president that is so incompetent, so as to, first of all, let the borders of the United States fold up, essentially. When he opens the borders and has literally hundreds of thousands of people a month coming in and coming across from all over the world. These are not just OTMs. That's other than Mexican.
Right.
Yeah, no, and that's not my the term
right.
used
no,
by the
saying,
by the
that's a category.
Yeah. OTM.
Other than Mexicans, OTM, and you have to understand that there are consequences in as a result of your failure in Afghanistan. There are consequences for us on the border,
right.
Because what people don't realize. And this is what I saw with my own eyes on a Codel down to Central America, South and Central America. The Islamic influence in especially South America is huge, huge. Yeah. Mosques everywhere now, thousands upon thousands of Islamists. And there is an area called the tri-border area. I mentioned it in this thing, and it is a completely lawless area. The amount of money laundering, drug activity, you name it, it goes human trafficking. It all goes on without any sort of containment by any sort of law. It's by any sort of legal system. It is where Brazil, Paraguay, and Argentina meet. It's called the tri-border area. It's been a problem, a horrible problem, for now 20 years or more, and it is the site where people come in and then are transported up toward the border and connected with the Mexican cartels who take them the rest of the way. Some of them, now a regular person pays about $5,000 for that transportation, okay? But a very important Islamic person, someone who is coming here for reasons and has a background that if he is caught, he would certainly be stopped. They pay upwards of $50,000 to the cartels to get them into the country. It's a very lucrative thing for the cartels. There is a road in Arizona they actually refer to as the Arab Road. I'm sure it's still there. Yeah, it's because they come a sort of a separate way, more secure. Maybe better, you know, better food on the
ground.
Peanuts, you know, or something. You get your peanuts with your drink.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, and so this is happening. Now, you look at the reports we're getting on the border. It's something like a 400% increase in OTMs, many of them being, quote, from Brazil. Now, let me tell you, when they are stopped at the border and they call themselves Brazilian, it's all you do not know what a Brazilian looks like. Okay.
Right.
There's no particular thing that points them out. If they speak, you know, Portuguese or what but there are so many Islamists in Brazil that they are counted as Brazilian. They're not counted as Islamic terrorists.
Right.
And they're just Brazilian. They're coming across the border in droves. Now, so my point is, don't just look at Afghanistan for the terrible consequences there. Look at our own security and how it is damaged, how it is threatened by what is happening in Afghanistan. That was the point I was trying to make in that article.
Well, and that's the one the military is making with you. And the State Department is like, oh, maybe we need to reassess how secure things are here.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Tancredo, former congressman, but his great article in AM Greatness.
Nope, American Citizen Press.
That one too.
Okay, AmericanCitizenPress.com.
Apparently we're gonna evacuate lots of Afghani refugees to the United States.
That's if they could get into the airport. They can't get into the airport yet.
And apparently, according to Rachel Maddow, women's groups want to fly their own planes in to get out the best of the girls they like, that they can come too. I've seen all these interviews with Afghan women and others, Christina Adamanapour, and saying, you know, we don't want to give up the progress we've had for 20 years. It's just, I haven't seen any guys interviewed saying they wanted to ensure we had the progress we had the last 20 years. And of course, those are the guys they expect to do most of the killing and dying. But they don't really matter, at least not according to feminist NGOs. But we got to get those girls out of there because Rachel has her eye on a few of them.
Well, and like the Taliban said, and they didn't buy that. They said, okay, we're going to let women participate in society, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, according to Sharia law. And Robert Spencer, that's not exactly like what Rachel Maddow would teach in her feminist course at Harvard or whatever, you know, it's a little bit of a different. Yeah. Well, let me, Tom, just a couple more questions.
One thing before we leave that point, okay, sure. In terms of, Who's getting in? What's the triage situation? Who gets in? Who isn't going to get in first? And it is I think it is absolutely horrible. It's a travesty that we are telling American citizens they're not first, right?
Yeah.
That what the hell? That has got to be a brand new low for any government. I can't imagine a government in this world that has ever said that to their own citizens in a country that is falling apart and where their lives are in danger. No, right. We're going to take out other people first. We're going to take out some of the folks who have worked with us. Okay, I understand the desire to get them out, but ahead of American citizens? Bull.
Right. Well, you're telling, you know, it's first come, first serve. Yeah, we can't guarantee your safety.
Who are these people?
And the people that we're going to take, okay, you do not know,
right,
under these conditions, when thousands and thousands and thousands of people are converging on the airport, and we're just saying, okay, yes, I helped. I was a interpreter or whatever. Okay, get on the plane. No vetting. I will tell you that in among those people are lot. I do not know numbers. I will certainly admit to that. But I do know this, that among those people you will find traitors. You will find people who had worked with us but turned against us and are against us and were waiting and plotting to do something against us. But no vetting is going on that basis. It's just get on and you get on and if you get here before the American, that's okay too. No. Right. Oh my God, what in the hell is happening to us?
Well, here's the good news. Here's the good news. I heard this analysis about American today. He said, you know, the troops are out except the ones we're sending.
Well, we sent more than we even had there in the first place.
He says the contractors got out a while ago when we stopped paying them. He says all those other people are basically NGO people. And they said, I promise you, nobody wants NGO people in the country. They don't. They don't. These are all NGO people. They are. You know, they had thousands of tens of thousands of people in Afghanistan for feminist studies, for thousands of different things. That's why there are thousands. You know, they just didn't happen to be there for some, you know, on vacation,
right,
or wanting to climb a mountain. They were there because they were working for by and large, non-governmental organizations.
Love it.
And that's who the vast amount of them are. And the Taliban certainly don't want them in their country, but it's hard to find a country who will want the NGOs. No.
Tom's right. They should get Americans out. I was reading a thing, a Dutch plane was going to land or landed and then was starting to be swamped by people and took off again saying, we're here to take back Dutch citizens. And if we're not going to do that, we'll help everybody first. We've got to get our citizens out. But Tom, let me ask at least a final question from me. Biden poll numbers are down. He was babbling about COVID today, but didn't take a single question. The press apparently didn't take any heat from the media for not taking any questions or talking about Afghanistan. How does this impact him? And not so much short term, but long term, do you think, politically?
It's good. You got to hope that there are people still in this country who are aware enough of what's going on around them that they will take umbrage with what he's done, and it will cost them politically. Now, what they're trying to do, of course, with the press conference today is to shift attention, right? But no, don't look here. There's nothing happening here in Afghanistan. It's all taken care of. Now, where we've got to worry about is here, this damn COVID.
And
we better get masks bad on everybody. We better go back to some sort of lockdown. So they think they win with that. That people, and they have. I mean, it took Trump out, or at least it was certainly a contributing factor, along with a lot of fraud. So
yeah.
These things they assume were that's what will work is how he handles this new threat.
That's right. You're going to make it a new threat that he can save us from. Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah,
That's why you're the politician, right? Yeah, make a new threat.
Sure, that's right.
And then save us from it.
I'd be doing if I were him, probably.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you. Thank you. Are you working on something new for folks to keep their eye out for?
I'm sorry. Say again.
Are you working on a new column for folks that we should be looking for?
Gosh, no. I'm still recuperating for what it took. Do that one.
All right.
Well, I'll add a couple more things. You know, Tom is one of the leaders of our new opt-out movement. We've gotten support from Liberty Caucus people. We've gotten support from dozens and dozens, and we'll be announcing some great ones coming up here. And of course, the mainstream press, the corporate press, is attacking us endlessly.
Well, showing the complete lack of understanding of Republican politics in so doing. I mean, they don't even...
Well, they don't care about Republican politics, but what's always amazing
is that
Phil Anschutz's Colorado politics is just as left-wing as the Denver Post and the Colorado Sun, if not more so.
Yeah.
And so we're getting more and more support, but not too much
great publicity from
great
the
media. Publicity, but maybe we're going to still come on. We've got... John Eastman is agreeing to take on some litigation.
Good.
Yeah.
We've got lots of
that's great.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
And I'll tell you, what we need, guys, we need something that makes the party establishment understand the costs that they will pay, the prices they will pay for essentially throwing us under the bus here and just simply coming up on the thing and saying, hey, don't worry. None of this is relevant. I'm going to rule it all out of order. You can't go any farther with this.
Right.
If they're allowed to do this without any sort of repercussions, I think it'll be a travesty. So I personally think there should be something they're afraid of, and you know what I think we should make. But we can talk about that another time.
All right, Tom, thank you for your time and
for
a great column. Appreciate it.
Talk to you guys again. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Congressman Tom Tancredo. Hey, we can open it up. I know we got a ton of people with us today, and thank you on Zoom. And if you're listening and you're not on Zoom and you ever want to go on Zoom, let me tell you, all you need to go to zoom.us, and the meeting is 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423. If you want to call in today, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Want to talk about a couple of things. I mean, obviously, what's going on there? We had some video I was going to play, and something it was corrupted.
Again?
Yes.
All of them?
That could have been operator error. So, but we don't
all four of them.
Yes, you don't have. Well, it's the player, I think, is a problem. So if one is bad, they're all bad, and the upload system. It's like, oh, you know, hey, this is what happens.
Right.
That's my assistant. I definitely sent a strongly worded message to my assistant.
Uh-huh.
It was me. But hey, so I want to. But in general, what I find, I want to get, you know, people weigh in on this if you want. And if you are listening on Zoom and you want to comment, just go ahead and unmute yourself. Turn on your camera if you want to be on camera too. To me, it is. It's just. I agree with Tom. It's like, what the hell is going on that the State Department, like you said, it's become Darwinian. It's not just enough. Look, we can't assure your safety, but try to get to the, because we're talking about roughly 10, 15,000 people, try to get to the airport. Instead, they're saying first come, first serve.
It's
like, what should you, if you see your neighbor, because I got to imagine a lot of them live in the same areas of the Capitol, right?
Yeah,
if you see your neighbor walking out with a suitcase, what do? You like knock them over or close them in their closet? I mean, it's just ridiculous that they're doing that. And then again, and they're not prioritizing American citizens. There are conflicting messages. On the one hand, the military, of course, why we think the military knows anything right now, says, hey, the Taliban, they're keeping their promise. But you've got the State Department, after she's done talking about her experiences with the brave women of Afghanistan, mentions that actually the Taliban are not keeping their promises. The video
just after the general Milley had said they are keeping their promises.
Right.
So who knows? It's up in the air.
It's clear though. I mean, Ken Buck was tweeting earlier.
Ken Buck's tweeting. What's he doing?
Well, no, I mean, I think because people they're turning to Congress. I mean, but Tom.
Oh, he'd be a good one.
Well, I think they've got no one else, right?
Well, they must have no one else.
So if
you're tweeting to Ken Buck.
He could be helpful in something like this. Well,
how? He has lots of friends.
Let me finish. I'm going to turn the mic on me. What he is saying that he is hearing from people there that they are being harassed, that they're American citizens, and they're not being allowed by the Taliban to get to the checkpoints. The CNN reporter was explaining. She said,
Clarissa Ward. She's becoming kind of a
I got to say, she's
good.
She's done
good.
Some idiotic things, but she's there, and she's
there.
Done, in some cases, not a bad job. And she was explaining today that how difficult it was. It's not like, you know, you drive somebody up to departures and kiss and wave goodbye. First, you got to get to the airport, and she said it's gridlock. She said then there are several checkpoints you have to get to with Taliban soldiers running around with guns, shooting in the air. She said they weren't trying to shoot at the crowd, but they were trying to control the crowd. But they showed pictures of them beating the crowd. And she said, we have seen pictures of the Taliban soldiers beating some of the people trying to get into the airport.
Well, what she doesn't tell you is she would not be out on the streets or doing anything else if the Taliban hadn't agreed to let her be
yes.
on the streets. And behind those cameras, there are probably some Taliban guards with rifles.
Oh, I imagine if she says too much that they don't like.
Absolutely. No, they don't like. They're paid. CNN makes deals. They made deal with Assad in Syria and other ones. I mean, she's there at their sufferance. The idea it's amazing to watch, but when she says, you think it's just her surrounded by Taliban, you're right, but the ones in back of them are ones who've been paid by the Taliban to keep her safe. So it isn't quite as risk-taking as you might think.
Yes and no. I mean, again, it's like the Biden administration's policy is trust the Taliban. And I guess what my point there was is though she's saying it's extremely chaotic, extremely confusing. There are numerous checkpoints you have to go through. Well, then there are more others when you get there. So the whole thing just seems like a mess. Hey, we got Charlene wanting to chime in. Hey, Charlene, go ahead. What's up?
Oh, hi there. Yeah, it's all about creating new boogeymen. You know, it's like when you got CNN and a conservative daily all teaming up on how awful the Taliban are. You know, I'm just a big follower of Cheryl Atkinson, who talks about nothing gets through to us that is not pre-approved. All the images we're receiving. And, you know, there's just so much like Taliban bad, you know, American intervention 20 years in a Muslim country flying LGBTQTI flags over a 99.9% Muslim country. Good. You know, we can't change a culture in 20 years.
No.
I mean, it's not our place to do that. And, you know, Ron Paul in 2011 gave the best video on what was going on in Afghanistan. He said, we go over there and we create terrorists and we don't need to be there. And we create boogeymen. And, you know, what is this going to result in? More legislation, terrorist legislation, to where we're all on the no-fly list? What is the end result? More troops back into Afghanistan? You know, I always think about the Hegelian dialectic and what is the synthesis, you know, the problem and the reaction and the solution. What are they gearing us toward? You know, where is this narrative leading us? What narrative is forming right now? A narrative where the conservatives and the liberals come together? I mean, that just seems to be a strange narrative.
Suspicious mind too, but here's where mine goes a little bit differently than you. I think two things. One, the situation, sometimes there are situations that are just big enough and bad enough that it's hard to control. I mean, you have 10,000 American citizens, you've got all these people, Afghanistan allies, all of whom have social media accounts, so stuff is getting out. But I also think it is interesting to me, and I just wonder if the Democrats are getting tired of Biden, and that that, because I mean, even Politico's criticizing him, MSNBC's trying to nod to, but I mean, CNN goes full in, and the, I mean, Politico a couple weeks ago was trashing Kamala Harris, the New York Times trashing Obama.
Yeah, but who did they go to? Andrew Cuomo.
I don't know that they have an answer, but I'm thinking, Charlene, I don't see. Because I don't think anybody agrees we should go back to Afghanistan. But I think for whatever reason, I agree with you. They're being allowed, if that's the right word, to attack Biden on this. And I don't think we know why. But I'm going to tell you what I think. And again, I've said this before. I think it's interesting that Facebook, YouTube, Google are all still allowing the Taliban out there. I don't know why, but I just got to wonder if the big tech people and the international corporations are tired of Joe Biden
for some reason. Looks a little
it could be a 3-for-1. It could be a way to get rid of Biden and then more terrorist legislation that will affect all of Americans like the Patriot Act did. You know, where we have to take off everything when we go through the airport while, you know, terrorists get on planes, you know, they're going to get on there. And then the other one is that it results in us sending more troops back in to protect certain assets over there. And, you just think about where the narrative they're forming. It seems to be coalescing at this.
Well, how many people, how many contractors, private contractors?
Right.
There are millions go there.
It's
were
Liz
billions.
Cheney. Liz Cheney Liz is behind Cheney. This. The military industrial complex are pushing.
Exactly. And so, I think it's also fascinating. But, after reading Cheryl Adkinson.
I know. Brad told me what to do. Yep. Oh, thanks.
Barney's interrupting you, Charlene. Hey, Charlene, who wants to go?
No, it's just that much.
Our very own Taliban.
I always look at what we get through the media is what we're supposed to get, and we have to really dig to get other things. That's my final analysis. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, Barney, can you hear us? We heard you briefly there. Are you there?
Sorry. I unmuted because I wanted to come up, but I didn't. Yeah, we got a little interruption there. Sorry.
No worries. What do you want to, what's on your mind?
Charlene kind of touched on, and okay, first off, when I first saw the video, by the way, General Milley, did you ever see the movie Jackass where the guy shoved a matchbox car up his butt?
No, miss that one.
Yeah, they did that in Jackass. I think that's what's wrong with General Milley. I think he shoved a match car up his butt. Can't stand the guy. Can't stand our military right now. For starters, when I first saw the pictures in the video, I'd like to take that C-17 pilot and beat the crap out of him. Hang on a minute. We don't care about those people. And I know where you guys were going with, you know, the NGO, what do you say, the NGOs or whatever they are. I know there's a lot of that, but typical America fashion, you know, we stir it up. By the way, Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney, you stupid. No, can't call her a bitch. How much did Kellogg Brown and Root make on the Afghanistan war? Cheney? Shit ton. You know what? I'll tell you right now. Who's more credible, Chuck? And I'm being really sarcastic because I'm pissed off. But who's got more integrity? Hamas, Hezbollah, or the Taliban or our U.S. Congress. What a bunch of spineless, ballless. I'm sorry.
I know which one's last. I'm not sure who's first among those.
Oh, I'll tell you who's last, buddy. It's a U.S. of A. I'll tell you, goddamn every one of us in this country to sit back and let this go on. You know what? It's over with now. You assholes have taken our vote away, and we've got to listen to the man with the pens on. And Charlene may be right. Maybe this is a big setup to try to bring the war machine back. Who knows? But I'll tell you, these people are disgusting. They really are. They're disgusting. That's all there is to it. Now, you know, the problem I have with the people on the ground with that C-17, they didn't think that plane was going to go. They knew, you know, that's not the American way to let people climb on your airplane and then drop them off and act like they're not.
I have the same reaction too. Now, I'm not sure. Maybe it was so chaotic they didn't understand, but you're right.
Julie,
I'm just saying, but
Julie,
you didn't realize that is the Afghan skydiving team that doesn't have any parachutes.
You're funny, Chuck, but I tell you right now, the bastard in the C-17 knew they were there. And I want to know who the bastard was in the tower that said, look, there's cameras all over those things. No, they knew that those people are on there. Sorry. You know what? No, I'm not sorry. Our army, the U.S. Army, is a joke. You know, keep in mind, they wouldn't let me in when I was 20 because obviously, we know I'm a little bit crazy. Maybe that's it. But what? We're looking at these piss poor excuses for soldiers in the army. General Milley? Are you kidding me? What about the little man that worked for Clinton? Wesley, what was his name?
Robert Reich?
No. Oh, Robert Reich wasn't a general. Ashley, Limbaugh used to always make fun of. The little man that used to be in charge of the Northern. He led the raid on Waco. What was that little pipsqueak's name? Oh, God. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You know what? The army is full of ballless, spineless people that are in charge and the brass. And I could say that about the Navy and the Air Force. The Navy commander that comes out and says, we're going to get to the bottom of these people that hate gays or black.
Right. No, they're so woke. Oh, no, you're absolutely right. But Friday, at least they're all going to get vaccinated, right? I mean, that's a thing. So, I mean, people have been...
COVID strong, Julie. By the way, my daughter was in a store in Oklahoma City. You would think they'd be conservative. So they look at her like, ew. You haven't been vaccinated. I said, Kelly, this is what you do. The next time somebody says something to you, say, no, my doctor gave me the COVID suppository. I'm good. You know, shoved it up my butt. How about that?
Yeah, well, but to me, it's like insanity that, because I know I have some family and friends who are in the military and they're being, you know, they're saying if you don't get the vaccine and they're debating whether they can actually force them to or not, but they said, you know, we're going to transfer you to Alaska where you're going to paint snow for the rest of your career. But here are these people that we're calling on to go bail Biden and the generals out, right? And they, when they come back, are going to have to get vaccinated or have dishonorable, possibly discharges. But all of these thousands of people that we're letting in across the border that were flying in from Afghanistan. Now, that's cool that those people, they can even test positive and they let them in.
Same as the Mexico border, like Tom's talking about. Come on in. And I guarantee you, I'm not a doctor, but you can bet your ass some of these disgusting diseases that have come back into our country have come across that border. That stuff was gone. Some of these TBs. Tuberculosis and strains, they were gone. And here they are again. It came through the border, just about guarantee it. But we're sick of these bastards. And I'm sorry, not going to give the military the break on this one. You guys are acting like that. There's got to be a man in. You know what, General Milley? I am not impressed with you. I don't give a damn what medal is on your chest. I think you have
somebody suggested that they've lost all these wars. What were the medals, you know?
General
Floyd class that he went to.
If you want to stir him up, what's the last war that you ever won? When did you win a war, asshole? Yeah, screw these bastards. Love you guys. Sorry, I had to get you on Zoom. I can't get you anywhere else.
All right, thank you for Zoom.
At least I didn't turn my camera on. God, Chuck, you're not
Michael Tomlin gets all riled. I get riled up too. So, Barney,
love you guys.
All right. See you, bye. Anybody else wants to weigh in, go ahead and unmute yourself, or we can read some of the comments too, or to call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Well, on the good news side, for me anyway, the Biden popularity, it's plummeting. Whatever the White House is doing and whatever the ultimate motive may be for some of this, or motives is probably the more operative term. People don't like it. And people don't like it. Biden's popularity is plummeting, even among all of them.
Well, it's not really plummeting yet.
Well, it's plummeting. We compare it to where it is.
It's down maybe 5-6 points from a little bit earlier. But it's going to be, I mean, I can't see. It's hard to have a COVID conference where you don't even mention Afghanistan.
Well, and here's with the COVID, and I don't think if that's our strategy to create a crisis and then try to save us from people, I don't even think the COVID crisis is going to work. So what they're saying is, okay, remember how we told you guys, ages ago, it was what, maybe like March-ish, where they all had to go out and get the vaccine to save the world, to save the country from COVID, and that this would work and you would be totally fine. And then in May, we said, hey, it's been working so great, hooray for us, you don't even have to wear a mask anymore. Now they're like, oh, guess what? It's not even effective 6 months later. You have to get a booster shot now. And some of the studies are showing that the effectiveness, and that's, again, keep in mind, this is not a vaccine. So I'm not really clear what the booster shot does, right? Does a booster shot give you more spiky things that infiltrate your body and teach it? I mean, it's not apparently working. And you have the international community kind of annoyed, saying
the international community.
Well, they're saying we don't even have. Well, all I mean is nobody's supporting Biden on this. People don't like it. Fauci likes it, but the international people are saying, "Have you got tons of countries that haven't had their first vaccine?" I read somebody was like saying that's giving Americans like 4 life vests and giving somebody else like, "Okay, we'll get you next week. Just keep treading water." As soon as we'll get you on the plane soon. We can't guarantee your safety though. I mean, what a ridiculous. I just don't think people are going to buy it. And I don't think it's going to be helpful. I think people look at it and say, like Barney says, you know, or Tom Jane Crater says, what the hell? Why did we have to go get all these vaccines if they don't work?
Right.
And how do we know that the booster shot's going to work? Right. And it's how much money are the pharmaceutical companies making on this, by the way? So I think all of this is bad. But to me, though, what's even more concerning, worser is I actually don't think, I mean, and maybe this is sort of counter to Charlene, but I'm not so sure there is a strategy. I get the impression that the Biden White House and Biden himself are just completely incompetent, completely in over their heads. They've been trying to pretend like if they just, you know, like if you have your head in your sand or you're the little kid and you're going like this and your mom can't see you, you know, that you could just do this and no one's going to care.
The New York Times reporter is... woman is really pretty good. She was saying, they asked her what's the difference now than in earlier times around the Department of Defense, which is her, he says, you can't believe how depressed everyone is.
Oh, I imagine.
She says, I've never seen it like this. I mean, they're good at compartmentalizing and getting on to the newest task, but they're just depressed like hell.
Well, and I mean, everybody is. And this from Sandra, I want to know why Jill Biden was at Fort Carson the week or two after Biden's inauguration. I don't know. Maybe she's trying to take over. But you saw Kamala Harris, like, she's going to Vietnam.
Yeah,
it's right. Of all the places. Well, maybe because nobody likes her.
Maybe you get that gun turret that Jane Fonda sat on. Put her on there with a little hat and stuff.
Although you can kind of see Kamala. She's like, do not blame this on me. I don't know what's going on.
Well, she bragged that she was the last person in the room with Joe Biden when he ordered the withdrawal. She's kind of forgotten that now.
Here's the other thing that's going on in terms of the withdrawal. So the Biden administration, at least as far as I can tell, is continuing to say that August 31st, all of the military people leave.
Yeah.
And so they've been indicating to these people, you know, the citizens they're like, well, yeah, we don't, you know, I get that you're in, you know, some other portion of the country. And we've, of course, closed all the air bases. So you have to get your way to Kabul. I know it might be a little tricky these days because the Taliban are indeed beating people and they're shooting women who aren't wearing burqas, minor things like that. But we're leaving the 31st because Joe said we were. I mean, you get a feeling that could very well happen and they just don't care.
Well, I think the reason why they're saying that is that's when the ceasefire ends. With the Taliban, I mean, it's not.
I think the Taliban cares that much about ceasefires.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
They don't want them staying on longer. We love you here anyway.
No,
love
what I mean is why would they?
Because that's the whole thing with the Trump agreement is that they let them get away with murder. The one thing they haven't done is attack U.S. troops. They said, you get out when you said you're going to get out, or
we will.
Or we will.
Well, they've got them all.
Right there.
I mean, again, I keep saying, I'm not a military strategist, but it seems to me that you put all of your people in one very small and closed area.
All these rockets to send.
meanwhile, you've armed the Taliban. They've got rings around there with checkpoints. It's like, I don't know. I just don't think that's a particularly military strong.
Yeah.
It's like the Alamo.
It's like the Alamo.
It's like, no, I got things under control here. But you know, if you can make your way into the Alamo, you know, through.
And some did, but they died later.
No, it's a mess. You know, and one other thing, too, talking about the mess, I just wanted to bring up another point. Because, again, I think this is, you know, elections have consequences, obviously. And these are people, I think, who have, I hope, overreach. They have let things get so bad that every time you fill up your gas tank, you go, what the hell, right? In Denver, they announced today, the Denver Police Department, that property crimes, so that's crimes that affects, like, everybody, right? It's not murder and homicide. This is we're talking about garage burglaries, stolen bikes, broken windows, stolen cars, things like that, up this past year. It's funny, but it's not funny, 49%.
That's all?
I mean, in District 3 alone, which is a nice district, well, probably because people don't even report it because it's no insurance, right? They've had almost 9,000, property crime reports. I mean, that's astonishing. And, you know, Hancock, you know,
Hancock has been out there every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Denver City Council, do you think they care? No, they're busy trying to make sure that you are not using a plastic bag when you go to the grocery store. Right now, you might get mugged
on the way
home. And let's
get some more funds for those poor homeless people.
Right, right. It's just
insanity.
We're
only spending $100,000 per homeless person a year. You know, we got to be a little more generous, a little more kind, a little more
So where do you think... I think in Afghanistan, it seems to me that there is no other word for it but what there are hostages. And the Taliban and the Biden administration foolishly let the Taliban hold all the cards. Right now, I don't really see what options they have except to trust the Taliban and hope that the Taliban keeps a word. I mean, you could probably hold out money. You're probably holding out
promises. Well, they're holding out $500 million already, and there are billions in funds they've frozen. And someday the Taliban is going to go, oh, yeah. About those funds, I think you better let them us have it.
I mean, they've got thousands of people there who are. I mean, they have to
remember,
go. Through.
Remember, the brilliant Obama traded for one deserter. He paid him $5 billion, as well as five highest value Taliban.
One
people.
Of them helped plan this.
Yeah,
one
yeah,
of them
yeah,
helped
yeah,
plan this.
Yeah.
So that was a good trade. So I mean, yeah, right. It started there. So I don't know. I think the situation there gets worse. I don't see how it gets, unless it, for whatever reason, the Taliban decide to be nice. But if you were, I mean, just think of this, if you were an American citizen there, and the State Department is saying, we can't guarantee your safety. It's kind of first come, first serve. But they said, if you get to the airport, be prepared to wait a while. It's like, what's a while?
Bring some food.
I mean, what do you do? Right. I mean, that's got
to
be a horrible situation.
They're
You've
dying.
Got kids. It's, you know,
oh, kids,
well,
yeah.
And again, the fact that the Biden administration left those people there knowingly, deliberately, intentionally left those people there. And now he goes out and he holds a news conference and, you know, doesn't even address it. They think we are idiots. They think that we are fools. They think that they can just throw their arrogance and their lack of concern about our welfare. Yeah. Well, it is like some of the people have been saying here. And like Tom said, not only the Democrats, but the Republican Party, we've got to do everything we can to make them aware we do care. And we are sick and tired of you telling us that we don't matter, that you can do whatever you want to us, and we're just going to sit there and take it, because we are not taking it anymore. No, we're not. I mean, look at what you're doing.
You are.
Now, look what you're doing, and look what's coming up. Mm-hmm. And look at, I mean, so here's the Colorado GOP. If you don't make some of these changes, let's just see what happens in 2022, and then let's see how things go. Yeah. I know, talking being optimistic.
All right.
I'm being optimistic.
We love it. All right, everybody. Great to talk to you. We'll be here for Party Friday. Things will have gotten better in Kabul, undoubtedly, and we'll have some great guests.
All right. See you there. Thank you to everybody on Zoom, to Tom Tancredo, the great guys at BBS. See you Friday.